Well, good morning and welcome to WJBM Local Spotlight Show here at the station. This morning I have the Local Spotlight Show, Stacy Eilerman. Welcome, Stacy.
Good morning.
Yes, Stacy, originally from Brussels, Illinois. Now you live in Carrollton.
Correct.
And you've been a nurse for many years, correctly?
Correct. Many
years.
42.
42 years. And kind of the cool thing about you, Stacy, is you started in this racket years ago, delivering babies, bringing life in, and now you work as a hospice nurse, helping people leave.
Correct.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about you. You're married with children.
Yep, I'm married to Dan. We have three boys, Jay, who's married to Justine, and they've got three of our grandkids.
Yes.
Drew is married to Mariah. They have two of our grandkids. And then Hayden is married to Casey, and they have three. So we have lots of grandkids.
Yeah, that's great. You're not close to my twin sister, Cindy, though. She's got 20.
No, not even.
You're going to have to tell those kids to get after it a little bit.
We have some sons from other mothers that have kids, and we claim them. So we have extra bonus grandkids, but still not 20.
I don't know if everybody knows this, but your maiden name is Pullman, and you grew up in Brussels.
I grew up in Golden Eagle.
Golden Eagle.
Yeah.
Okay. Went to Brussels High School.
Went to Brussels High School. Correct.
Yes. And Craig went to Brussels High School. All the good people come from Brussels High School.
Well, from the lower end of the county, I guess.
Yes, the lower end. Your dad ran the Golden Eagle Ferry.
Yes,
sir. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
How was that as a kid? Did you just ride it all day long back and forth?
No, I did not.
You didn't?
No. My dad, my grandpa, my great-grandpa, so it was in our family for years. But we used to go to St. Charles, and we just missed the ferry, and Dad wouldn't come back to get us and would make Mom mad because then we had to wait the whole cycle to get back on the ferry and then go over. So it was kind of frustrating.
Oh, did you, like, ever fish on the ferry? Anybody ever fish or anything on it?
No. I never did.
Any episodes on the ferry that were concerning or anything that happened?
Well, the chain would break sometime because it was a paddle wheel ferry boat, and
okay.
The chain would break, and then you'd have to throw the anchor so it didn't float down the river, and then they'd have to fix it and drag the river for the chain. So there was kind of
how about
exciting.
Barges? What if it broke and you're in the middle of the river and a barge came?
Then you just have to call the barge and say, "Don't run over us," I guess. I don't ever remember that, but as a little kid, I remember going along with my Uncle Dale and collecting the fee for the ferry, you know.
Oh, you
from the cars. So
okay.
I don't know.
So you started off a nurse 42 years ago, nursing. What made you want to become a nurse? What went on?
To this day, I don't know why I wanted to become a nurse.
Yeah.
But it's just it's been the best thing I've ever done. I got away from it for like a hot minute when my grandpa got sick and died. And then it was like, nope, I need to be back into it. So I jumped back into it. I started as an LPN, then went to get my RN. And
yes. And you worked at Jerseyville Hospital for a while.
I did. I worked at Jerseyville Hospital from December of 89. I started doing labor and delivery there. Before that, I worked in nursing homes. But yeah.
And you actually delivered our first child, Jenna.
Yes.
And Jenna had some issues being
Jenna
delivered.
Had some issues that I won't ever forget.
Yes, that was very scary.
It was very intense. She had the cord around her neck a couple times. And that is a very intense thing when that happens.
Yes.
Barb Marshall was there. She's a angel. But she handled the situation very well, very calm, and I learned a lot from her. And
what did you guys do? What was the procedure when you see that?
Well, when the doctor sees that, they, you know, clamp the cord and unwrap the cord before they actually deliver the whole baby.
And what can happen from that?
Well, lack of oxygen to the brain.
And then, yes.
Yeah. Or they could die. You know, yeah. It just depends.
Just a side note, you know Dr. Ballman. Remember Dr.
Oh,
Ballman
yeah, Dr.
passed
Ballman.
Away
yeah.
recently. Just a few years ago, I don't know how it came up, but I was over at his place doing something for him. And we got to talking about, you know, Jenna, the one thing that she, her vision is, was really bad. Okay. And I was telling him about that. And he said, did she have her cord wrapped around her neck when she was born? And I'm like, oh my God. I never knew that. Knew
the how correlation.
That, yeah, the correlation, yeah. But he did, mm-hmm. You know, getting right to him. So he's a smart guy.
Yeah, he was.
So you worked delivering babies and did that for how many years?
It was, well, until 1993. And then I found a job doing hospice.
Okay.
And so
hospice. You went from delivering babies. Delivering babies had to be so much fun, right? What are the truths and the misconception about delivering babies?
Well, not every baby has a smooth delivery. Not every baby goes home to good places. Not every mom has a good, easy pregnancy or delivery. So there's a lot of bad things that can happen.
Yes.
You know, with labor and delivery. So yeah,
some scary things, just like what we went through.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely scary things.
Yes.
Not all babies are born alive. Some, you know, aren't. It's really scary.
But for the most part, it's really a happy day when you get a good delivery and everybody's healthy.
Yeah, there's
a lot of excitement.
A lot of excitement. Yes. It's a miracle anybody is even born. Every time I saw a baby born, it was just like a tear in my eye because we're happy.
We are starting to tear up now. just thinking about it.
But it's a miracle.
Yes. And then how did you end up going the other route with hospice? You know, what happened made you want to go that way?
Well, it was in 1993, and we had moved from Calhoun. It was during the flood, mm-hmm. And we'd moved from Calhoun to Carrollton, and I had a lot of time on my hands, and we...
You weren't working?
Well, I was working, but I only worked like 3 days a week.
Okay.
And we were living with friends.
Yeah.
And no house is big enough for two families, they say, and that's the truth. So I thought, I'll see if I can apply for a job that I can work an extra day here and there just to kind of get out of the house, get the kids out of the house so that both families don't hate each other after this episode. So I applied for a hospice. And at the time, Blessing Hospital in Quincy had started a hospice program in Carrollton with Boyd Hospital, and Dr. James Reed was the medical director. And the program was very, very new. So when I started, it had only been going maybe a year.
Okay.
And so they didn't have many patients. They didn't need somebody like full time.
So it kind of fit for you.
Yeah, it did. It fit very well. Well, then as things progressed, it's kind of like we bloomed this program into where I went full time then and didn't work. I worked part-time labor and delivery, full-time hospice. So it was kind of like watching it grow, mm-hmm. You know, into what it is today.
What are some misconceptions or myths about hospice? Because when I think about hospice, you know, some people, including myself, you start thinking about, okay, it's the last resort. And you just think of being sad, like right. A sad situation. Tell me your thoughts.
So my thoughts is hospice can do so much for so many people. Hospice is a group approach. And by that, I mean we have a medical director, who is Dr. David Harmon from here in Jerseyville.
Yes.
He's one of our medical directors. We have nurses. We have a social worker. We have chaplain. We have home health aides. We have volunteers. So it's a holistic group approach. Whereas I focus on nursing, the social worker can help with advanced directives and help with financial planning. And then our chaplain, Joel Lohr from Bethel Baptist over in Medora, he can help with the spiritual aspects. The home health aides help with personal care. So it's a group effort to get folks what they really need at the end of life. And people think there's nothing more that can be done, but with our support, they can do so much more, you know.
So it's a good time. It's a good time. You really feel fulfilled when you do hospice work.
Hospice is my passion.
It is.
And when I get talking about it, you're probably going to have to say, bring it down, Stace. Calm down.
With hospice, is there a timeline on hospice? Like, oh, you can't go in yet. You got to do a couple more months before we let you in. Tell me about that. How do you as a person know then it's time to go to hospice?
Right. Good question. So Medicare and their infinite wisdom have guidelines for everything.
Okay.
And Medicare Part A has a hospice benefit built in that. Most people don't know that.
Okay.
Because they don't tap into it till it's time. But when the focus turns from curative measures like chemo, radiation, to we can't do that anymore, let's keep you comfortable for whatever time you have, then folks can come to hospice. People think there's nothing more that can be done, but when you tap into hospice, there's so much more that we can do, like for symptom management. So instead of trying to cure the cancer, let's treat the pain or nausea or vomiting that you're having and make you comfortable.
Okay.
Knowing that, you know, we can't cure the cancer.
No, do I understand it correctly? Hospice takes place at the home?
Yes.
Not at the hospital.
Correct. So you can do hospice. Ours is an in-home hospice, and your home can be at your house or at a nursing home or assisted living, wherever you live.
Okay.
Now, we do have an opportunity, if people have uncontrolled symptoms, to put you in the hospital, get your symptoms under control, and then you go home. But 99% of the people don't want to be in a hospital. They want to be at home where they're comfortable with their family around them and friends.
How about some money myths that you can explain? Because I think some people sometimes I've heard that they're concerned about the money situation.
Correct. So Medicare, like I said, under Part A, has a hospice benefit built in, which covers the expense of all the disciplines that I talked about, the nurse, the social worker, the chaplain, the home health aide. It will cover a limited amount of supplies, like incontinence supplies. It will cover medications for symptom management. And by that, I mean, if you've been a longstanding diabetic, but your hospice diagnosis is lung cancer, your regular Medicare and supplement covers your diabetes, whereas the hospice Medicare will cover medications for like the cancer, like pain symptom things. We don't make you sign over your house. We don't take your life insurance policies. You know, those are all
myths.
I said to somebody, now I've been doing this over 30 years, and I said to somebody, I'm telling you the truth. And he's like, well, if I get a bill for this, I'm coming back and I'll own your house. And I said, you can have my house and my firstborn, but I promise you, you won't get a bill. And I still have my house and my firstborn. So it's, you know, you just have to tap into it the correct way.
So what usually is a timeline with hospice? What are some?
So anything you read on Dr. Google or Google in general will give you a timeline of 6 months or less to be on a hospice. But we don't have crystal balls. We're not God. We don't know. But when the focus turns from curative to comfort, folks can come on hospice. And with the right diagnosis, you know, there's all kinds of diagnosis, not just cancer. We take care of all kinds of other diagnoses too. But we've kept people on for two and a half years. So it's not like sign on and I'm going, okay, Chris, 6 months, your time's up, you're out of here. We don't like kick you off. But, you know, and we have had people that have come to hospice who have gotten better.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Yes, absolutely. They've gotten better. A lot of people come.
Do they ever get off hospice?
Oh, yes. Yes, we've
seen
had
people
that.
Get
yes,
off?
Absolutely.
Oh, my. That's
a lot,
great.
A lot of people come to us with what we call polypharmacy. They're taking hands full of meds. And when they come to hospice, they're like, do I really have to take all these medicines? No, you don't. And they feel so much better. They improve. And we've graduated them off only for them to come back year or two later.
That's fantastic. So the life expectancy of hospice can go from a couple weeks to 2 years.
Oh, right? Yeah. And we don't really like to put a time frame on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fit into the guidelines as to, you know, the proper diagnosis to be on hospice, and it could be COPD, it could be stroke, it could be cancer, it could be Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. There's all kinds of diagnoses out there that we can use to, for somebody to come on hospice. When we see that people are declining in their health, their cognition, physical, we can assess people and see if they qualify and they can come on hospice. Medicare gives us 6 months. That's two 90-day benefit periods, and we go out and we assess constantly.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? What's going on? What's the changes that you're seeing, the family's seeing, the caregivers at the nursing home? So we're constantly monitoring that. With hospice, the nurses go out and typically see folks two times a week, send the home health aide out a couple times a week. Chaplain and social worker go every couple weeks. So there's a lot of people in and out keeping an eye and checking on things for what's going on with, you know, with the patient and the family, for that matter. It's not just for the patient. It's support for maybe the wife of 60 years
mm-hmm. yes.
that is taking care of her husband she's getting frail herself, mm-hmm. and she needs that support, emotional support, physical support. Any medical equipment that they might need, like a hospital bed, walker, wheelchair, commode, all of that we can get through the Medicare hospice benefit. Oxygen. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it's like all-encompassing.
Well, thank you, Stacy, for coming in today. This has been very informative, and I think everybody will really love what you had to hear, what you said.
Thank you.
So do you have any points that you want to make before we wrap this interview up?
Yes.
Okay.
So hospice can be scary when you just hear the word and the doctor says it. But let us come out and explain and, you know, talk to you about what's going on and how we can help you in this time of need, you know, like I said, either emotional or physical. And you'll find that we're really not as scary as people.
You'll make it a lot better for them.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, it'll be a lot easier to go through it.
And I'm not discounting that people emotionally struggle with it. I'm not saying that, this is going to be great. But when you've got the right people that know what they're doing, and we have an awesome team, we can be a lot of support to folks.
Well, thank you so much, Stacy. Stacy Eidelman, hospice nurse from Boyd Hospital.
BJC.
BJC.
Yeah, BJC. We work for BJC now. So
BJC.
And hospice. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Take care.